You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Actually live today, not in a secret, undisclosed location hidden deep in a ground-protected bunker. Local, state, national, man, we cover all the issues right here. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Thursday all day long, which we like to call Friday Eve.
Yes, we do. Friday yes, we do. Eve, because it's Thursday and we don't like Thursdays.
You have a predisposition against Thursdays, I've noticed. By the way, this feels like a Friday.
It does.
It feels like I've already blazed through the weekend and gotten to a Monday.
Yeah, you've been blazing everywhere.
Yeah, but it's all been good. But anyway, glad to be back with you, buddy.
Yes, glad to have you back.
Glad to see everything's still here.
Hey, it's all working still.
Yeah, it's still working. All right, we're back, man. We got plenty of stuff on tap for you. 3 o'clock today, State Senator Sam Gavan, who serves out of the Huntsville area, but State Senator Sam Gavan's coming on at 3. He's got a bill, and I'll lead up to it, but he's got a bill that will redesign the manner in which any state health officer, who, by the way, we found out during COVID has a lot of control over our lives, any state health officer has to be appointed by the governor. I got questions. He's got answers. We'll talk to State Senator Sam Gavan at 3 o'clock today, so y'all stay tuned for that one. And then at 3:30, my favorite, it makes Thursdays very palatable.
This does. You're correct.
See? Thursdays are good. But yeah, Thursdays, 3:30, Boomer and McQueen. So we got that laid on for today. Nice. All right, yeah, that's coming up 3:30, Boomer and McQueen. And then I got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it, bud.
The triple dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, you gotta know as we run today's show. So number one, right out the gate, I'm calling this one, who hired that guy? Well, nobody did. That's who I'm talking about, the state health officer. Did you have any idea how that guy got his job? That guy's got a job, by the way, that has a lot of sway over our lives, and I spent 8 years in Montgomery, and I had no idea. None of us did. And then COVID happened, and we all found out. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that and then lead up to our conversation with State Senator Sam Gavan at 3 o'clock. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Green New Steel. The Green New Steel is what I'm calling it. I do this periodically where I begin seeing, oh, Lord, here comes another flurry of stories. Things they're trying to take, things they're trying to modify, things they're trying to restrict, all in the name of climate change. Well, okay, the Green New Steel, that's coming up at number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, speak freely is what I'm calling it. Speak freely. Sir, permission to speak freely. Speak freely. Well, speak freely is not always possible in some places. In Alabama, we passed some really good laws that preserve freedom of speech, which you'd think you wouldn't have to do because isn't there like something like a First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Yeah, but. But then you watch what happens on college campuses and you watch what happens in certain locales around the nation. So we're going to talk about that. The laws that govern whether or not we can or cannot speak freely. Number three on the Triple Dipper. But let me jump over here to my comments to open the show. So I'll start off by saying, and I mentioned him on the show before, that a few years ago, one of my personal heroes passed away. Former Alabama Congressman Jim Martin was a personal friend. He died at the age of 99 just a few years ago. He was a dynamic individual. I mean, up to the day he died, he could tell stories that would keep you riveted. He led a pretty amazing life, not the least of which involved his time serving in Congress. But one of his most amazing stories was as a young major serving in World War II in Patton's Third Army. My friend Jim was the first American officer to find and open the gates of a concentration camp. Turn off your mic. He could still describe it in vivid detail. The smell, the emaciated, ghost-like figures of people who were so weak they could hardly stand. The furnaces where they burned Jewish bodies. He describes walking into a large building with bunks that were several high and filled with Jewish men laying like cordwood in these bunks, too exhausted to get up. He said he opened that door and he was taken aback. He didn't know what to do at first, so he just took off his helmet and held it up and yelled, "We're Americans!" and a murmur came up from the men who were still living. Well, over the next few days, Jim Martin escorted numerous key leaders and generals through the camp, and he never forgot it. Talked about it to the day he died. Well, I remember that story about Jim Martin because I'm reading a book right now by best-selling author Joel Rosenberg. If you haven't read any of his stuff, I highly recommend it. It's a standalone book, not part of a series. It falls into the genre of historical fiction, meaning it's technically a novel, but it's built on historical fact. The title is Escape from Auschwitz. I'm still pretty early in the book, but it's hard to put down. The storyline follows characters who are all Jews living in Germany as the Nazi Party came to power. It chronicles the fact that one day they were living as citizens of a free country, leading productive lives, and then suddenly and inexplicably and almost overnight, the wave of public sentiment against Jews just exploded. It started slowly at first, denigration, insults, restrictions on their movement, then special papers, then Jews were not allowed to have firearms of any kind, and then in one night, violence and chaos erupted in what became known as Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. So similar to the aftermath of the George Floyd incident here in the U.S. a few years ago, a German man was killed allegedly by a Polish refugee, but the refugee was Jewish, and somehow it became the catalyst for a wave of anti-Jew sentiment. But worse than that, the Nazi government decided to capitalize on the rage and direct that actions be taken and stoked the passions of Hitler Youth and Hitler's SA, a paramilitary unit called the Brown Shirts. Joseph Goebbels, he played coy and issued the directive that the official Nazi party would not stage the riots, but they would also not interfere with them, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Well, the Brown Shirts and the Hitler Youth, they shattered the windows of about 7,500 Jewish stores and businesses. They looted their goods. Jewish homes were ransacked all throughout Germany. Although violence against Jews had not been explicitly condoned by the authorities, there were cases of Jews being beaten or assaulted, and an official count of 91 murders that night of Jewish citizens was recorded around the nation. The rioters destroyed 267 synagogues throughout Germany, Austria, and the Sudetenland. Over 1,400 synagogues and prayer rooms, many Jewish cemeteries, more than 7,000 Jewish shops, 29 department stores were all damaged and in many cases destroyed. And more than 30,000 Jewish men were arrested in that single incident and imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps like Dachau and Buchenwald. And that was just the beginning, man. That was just the beginning of the nightmare that became the Holocaust. But one account that I've read describes that not every German citizen agreed with these actions. It didn't sit well. But it also points out, though, that nonetheless, many such citizens, even though they didn't agree with it, they stood quietly and they watched, declining to come to the aid of their longtime Jewish friends and neighbors. Well, how does that happen? How does a modern, productive, generally free society suddenly acquiesce to the scourge of staying silent in the face of such grotesque and demonic behavior? How does a government determined to, you know, again, wink, wink, nod, nod, use such violence and hate for their own petty political purposes? Well, the only way that happens, the only way that kind of atrocity can happen is if good people just choose to stand idly by. Just stand there quietly. Never say a word. Don't question. Don't get involved. Don't dare draw attention to yourself. Just stand idly by and become a part of the scourge of staying silent. Alabama author Andy Andrews, I've talked about him before, he wrote a book called How to Kill 11 Million People. He said the way that governments are allowed to commit atrocities is when the people fail to ask them hard questions. In the wake of the George Floyd riots, we watched in disbelief as whole city blocks burned and government so-called leaders encouraged it. Even named city streets and plazas after the rioters. We can watch and be shocked as elected officials kowtow to activists who demand the right to abortion on demand, who call for the ability to conduct gender reassignment surgeries on young children. We find ourselves amazed that government officials were so brazen in their attempts to curtail free speech during COVID that they even colluded with tech companies to help shape the narratives and limit expression, despite the fact that we're supposedly having a First Amendment that should have been in play. We listened in disbelief as even the president himself, Joe Biden, accused anyone who did not want to wear a mask or get a shot of being akin to a genocidal maniac and trying to take away people's livelihoods for not complying with mandates that never really had the force of law. And no, all those things I just named that are happening here in the last few years, they may not rise to the level of Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass, but they do rise to the level of the precursors of Kristallnacht, the limitations. The ill sentiments, the accusations, the limitations and regulations to curtail basic rights, the curtailing of movements and controlling thought. Yes, those same misguided and reckless agendas were what caused the final spillover to the night of broken glass. And the only way it happens again is if people stand quietly by, if people participate in the scourge of staying silent. Martin Niemeyer, you've heard about him before, I'm sure, was a German Lutheran minister during the 30s and 40s. He was initially a supporter of Hitler. But over time, he began to see the truth of what the Nazis were willing to do for power. He wrote a famous poem about the deadly results of saying nothing in the face of tyranny and thuggery. He said this. Here's his poem. You ready? Quote, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." So don't do it. Don't stand by and watch. Just go ahead and take the risk. Speak out. Don't be a part of the problem by seeing it and saying nothing. Don't ever let yourself be the historical record that says you were a part of the scourge of staying silent. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And it's true. I mean, I look at this. I am not going to try and portray that life in our society is the same as Kristallnacht, but I will say this. Things that we're seeing in these days are akin to the precursors that became Kristallnacht in Germany in 1938, 85 years ago this year. And it's harrowing when you think of it that way. That's how society goes from being controlled and prosperous and productive to having 11 million people terminated. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, we got so much stuff laid on for you, but we got some breaking news out there too. So in case you have not heard, you know, we talked yesterday a bit in my Russia section. We talked about the massive intel leak, the documents that got out somehow or another from a very controlled, you know, and contained environment into public platforms. And they were like, I mean, we're still finding out how much is there. And I think we're also going to find out there might be more. But these documents were detailing things like troop movements and capabilities in the war in Ukraine. And they were also, you know, contained information about nuclear weapons. They contained information about things that our allies were doing or not doing in relation to a variety of different things. And it's just like, it's caused huge embarrassment on the world stage. Some are saying that this was worse than Snowden. Now here's the deal. They just caught the guy. Allegedly it's him. They literally had a drone in the air, I guess. And they filmed taking him into custody. Right now they're saying the guy who did this is a 21-year-old Air National Guardsman from Massachusetts. If there was a conspiracy theory movie out there where they needed to frame someone who had no ability to fight back, could they have written a better script than this? So anyway, the story we're getting out of this is that this 21-year-old kid, in the guard we call him full timers. He was a full timer. He was one of those guys who worked full time at the unit. So while he might be in the guard, he's what they call AGR, Active Guard and Reserve. So he was an AGR Air National Guardsman, 21 years old, you know, basically an E-nothing, I think. Like he was probably an E-3, E-4, somewhere in there. But the story we're getting off of this is the documents have been out now for over a month. which means that, you know, their timeliness and relevance is not as pressing, but it does not diminish the value of them in the overall. We're also hearing that some of these documents may have actually created, like they may have actually burned some of our contacts overseas. It could put people in bad positions because those who didn't want the information from their end to get out may now be able to trace back the sourcing, and it puts some of our sources now at risk. But the kid was allegedly, the story we got is that the kid was allegedly trying to impress his friends. I mean, Boomer, I think there's other ways to impress your friends, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like, what was he thinking?
Apparently, I don't know. I mean, he's got a security clearance, which comes with briefings, I can tell you. You don't just get, well, I take it back. I don't know what level of clearance he had, but the documents he was looking at were definitely considered top secret in nature. So to get to where they are, he had to have a TS, but still.
Man.
I mean, that all.
A 21-year-old that, I mean, he just.
You've seen his picture, right?
Yes, I have. A little.
All right. Let me just, without trying to poison the well or anything else, I'll just ask. You saw his picture. What was your first thought?
Fruitcake.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm thinking more of fruitcake as in a young 21-year-old that.
Skull full of mush.
Yeah, he's just. He understands, but just does not think.
Doesn't think. And apparently, here's how not thinking he was. He released all these to his friends in a chat room on a gaming platform.
Wow. Like,
this is what you do.
Online on a gaming platform. Yes. Voila, world.
and also, by the way, I'm hearing different reports, right? So I'm driving back into town today from my secret undisclosed location with the bunker that was secure and shall not be named. But anyway, so I'm driving back in, listening to reports, and some of this is unsubstantiated, but it's what's being said, and they're probably decently sourced stories. That allegedly he posted these things and he was not able to actually get them because they were in what we call an air-gapped system. So basically, he's working off computers where the information is supplied through air gap. The only way he can get them off was a lot of them he was having to take notes and then walk out of there with the notes in his hands. And then he also scarfed up some and just folded them up and put them in his pocket. I kid you not.
Man.
And I saw images of some of the documents online when they first broke, and they looked like pieces of paper that had been folded up and put in someone's pocket. And he took a picture of them when he got home, posted them to his friends in the chat room, I guess to make himself look important. Well, he didn't look that important in handcuffs getting put in the vehicle a while ago.
Nope.
But I also look at this too. All right, am I being too much of a conspiracy theorist, Boomer, by saying that maybe he's just a scapegoat? I mean, did he?
Oh, I didn't think of that. Or was he? You know, he posted it online to make it look like that's what he was doing, but doing something different.
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, dude, if you've got a security clearance, first of all, this 21-year-old looks like Doogie Howser. I mean, I just question at times how these clearances get issued and then renewed and then what the heck? But yeah, that's all breaking news. He is now in custody. AG Eric Merrick Garland gave a very brief, you know, speech about it. And wow, we'll see what happens next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back with the first part of the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned.